So Proverbs 18, if you will, in the scriptures this evening. My daughter is actually very funny. She said before we came to church, she says, "Daddy, I really want to be at the soccer group tonight, off on the field, but I also want to hear you preach. I hardly ever get to hear you preach anymore." And I said, "Well, what do you think you should do?" And she says, "Well, you know, I don't know." And I said, "Well, let's think about this. There is one option where you could do both." And she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, they actually post all of the sermons online. In fact, Calvary Baptist Church has a Twitter feed and also some sermons on Sermon Audio. So if you really want to hear Daddy speak, I guess you could fire up one of those podcasts or sermon feeds and hear the sermon." But she's so funny. She said, "Oh, good. I guess I'll go play soccer." She's a chip off the old block, really. She's just a witty one. But I'm thankful for her and her heart. Proverbs chapter 18, nothing confounds a speaker more than the book of Proverbs. It's like reading a grocery list, you know. It's like you got your frozen foods, and then you got your juices and your cereal, and it's all over the place. And, you know, if you're like me and a guy, I'm bouncing from one place to the other in the grocery store, not really knowing, is this even logically laid out in any sort of manner? And that's how I feel when I read Proverbs. Everything seems to be like, over here you want to talk about, you know, such and such is an abomination and wickedness, and by the way, don't sleep with anybody other than your wife. It's just like all over the place, and sometimes I just don't know how to put it all together. So if this sounds like a typical unpolished sermon, I'm very sorry. I tried to put things in order as best I could. In fact, I tried to limit myself to one chapter, and that was Proverbs 18. I would much rather speak from maybe a Pauline letter, like give me Galatians, or maybe even a narrative. Give me a story where it's going somewhere. But Proverbs, man, it's a hermeneutical nightmare. I just can't get over it sometimes. So I got three verses out of chapter 18 that I think go well together. 18:13. So if you want to write that one down, and of course I want to encourage you possibly to read this later. Proverbs 18:13, secondly, Proverbs 18:15, and then Proverbs 18:17. I want to read all three of those. Let's beginning in verse 13. The word of the Lord says, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame." Drop down to 15. "An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Two more verses down in verse 17. "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." So I've been tasked with answering the question, words of wisdom from Proverbs. Isn't that every verse of the book? That's what I'm asking. Isn't that every verse? Isn't that inherently what we're discussing? So instead of expounding on every last verse of the book, we'll just choose these three. And I think beginning in 13, we need to define two words, okay? Two words. Look back up at 13. If one gives an answer before he hears, it is what? Two things: folly and shame. We as a church, we gather together. We're inherently communicative. We talk to each other. At least I hope we do. We pass each other in the hallways, but sometimes I hope we get together in community groups. I hope we take the time to go to coffee shops, have coffee. If we text, I hope we're texting each other saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you." If you love to hear the word preached, I hope you're in this room from time to time. We are an inherently communicative people. We communicate. We talk. In fact, communication is one of the things as human beings we celebrate, right? When a baby says their first words, we are so incredibly excited. But sometimes we get in trouble because we talk too much, right? We get ahead of ourselves. And this particular verse in verse 13 says, if we don't take the time to listen to another person speak and give their case, we actually cut them off. He says this is foolishness and it's shame. So let's define those two words, okay? Word number one, fool. Again, you could find this all over the book of Proverbs. It is defined as one who simply lacks wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. I know something, and therefore I'm going to apply it to a given situation. It could also be defined as one who acts unwisely. I think of the guy who recently jumped out of an airplane without a parachute. That's apparently cool now. Or to be foolish is a failure to apply knowledge in an appropriate situation. So you might know something, but try to apply it in the wrong context. So that is a fool. What about shame? Shame is the feeling you get of embarrassment or distress when you know you have done something foolish. How many of you have ever dreamed the dream where you went to school in your underwear? Yeah, that's kind of the idea. You forgot your pants, right? So that's the feeling you get when you've in distress and embarrassment because you know you've done something absolutely foolish. The word shame is actually found in other places of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right. Do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God, and I say this to your shame." In that context, Paul was talking about giving out the gospel. Instead of giving out the gospel and sharing truth with other people, the church of Corinth was actually going around and partying, essentially. There were other people in the Corinthian church or outside the church that needed to hear the truth spoken to them, but much to the church's shame, they didn't apply the gospel to their context. And Paul says, that is shameful. Romans 10:11 also uses the word shame, for the scriptures say, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. So you might have someone that's on the brink of coming to the end of their life, and they say, you know, is all of this real? Is this actually going to pan out the way the Bible and the way of my pastor or my friends are telling me it's going to pan out? Romans 10:11 tells us, absolutely. If we're using the word shame appropriately, I will not wake up in eternity and be ashamed of what I had believed in. The gospel is true, and it will be fully displayed to me at the end of my life, in the afterlife. So that's another use of the word shame. God is not going to allow you to wake up in embarrassment and you realize that the gospel wasn't true. So let's get the facts straight. Number one, Proverbs 18:13 tells us, let's make sure when we engage other people in conversation, let's get the facts straight. Let's make sure that we hear every piece of information that is available to us. And a couple of things that might result, that might come as a result of poor listening, because that's really what we're talking about here. Before we can speak wisdom to other people, as the topic that was given to me suggests, we have to learn to be people who listen. This is probably number one reason why I have stopped watching the news, because it's a lot of yelling. It doesn't matter which station you watch on TV. It's a lot of yelling. It's a lot of cutting each other off. It's already assuming or presupposing, I know what you're going to say before you even say it. Poor listening is actually detrimental to communication. Let me give you a couple of things that poor listening might do to you. Poor listening shows that you might have little regard or respect for the one speaking. And I know there are people in this church that I've done this to, where I'm hearing a conversation and I might actually be thinking about where I need to be next. You know, I need to find my kid, or I need to get to the Sunday school class so I can get things started, or I need to get to an appointment on time. So I'm not really fully engaged in what you're saying. And you know what? Probably that person knows that I'm not fully engaged. So poor listening might actually be a sign that you have little regard or no respect to the one speaking to you. And again, that person might actually know that you're being disrespectful. What else could happen if you're giving poor listening? Poor listening shows that you might just be self-absorbed. You might actually be in the danger of communicating that you believe that you're more important than the other person. I've got better things to do. My time is more important than your time. Or what you have to say is incredibly less significant than what I have to say. I think several people have suggested that you ever talk to someone who you know they're there, but it seems that they want to talk about what they want to talk about at the end of your sentence. That kind of a spirit. Poor listening may indicate, number three, poor listening may indicate pride. I've got the answers figured out already. Why should I continue to listen to you any further? In fact, why don't you stop talking and let me give you a good answer? That might be an indication of poor listening. Again, these are questions, and if the Proverbs are really a good source of reflection. It's not a story. It's not a logical sequence like you would find in Paul's letters, but in a way, if you take one proverb and just kind of soak it in and just kind of ask yourself and ask the Lord, am I like that? I think would be very, very helpful. Even taking one or two per day can be incredibly life-changing in the way that you treat others and maybe even your family or coworkers. So poor listening. And probably the most damaging part about listening to people poorly is that you can actually hurt them, not physically, but spiritually. This is why we share prayer requests like we just shared. We share prayer requests about people that are spiritually hurting. Sometimes they are hurting physically, but the physical hurt translates into spiritual hurt. People often ask, why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. I serve the Lord. That's a very huge spiritual question born out of a physical experience. So let me give you four things in relation to poor listening can hurt someone spiritually. I work at a hospital. I work in the Department of Medicine with several wonderful doctors, nurse practitioners, and social workers. And I remember a friend of mine, and he doesn't really know I'm sharing this. I hope it's okay. A friend of mine, George Kuntz, he was actually my art teacher in high school. And funny thing about George, back in high school, and I cut up so bad in his class. I cut up so bad. I think I provoked him to wrath one time. In fact, he asked me to stand outside in his class one day. I had crossed the line. In fact, I can't even remember what I did. But I remember he asked me to step outside and wait in the hallway. I think somebody in our pulpit committee asked me to do that too. But I was standing outside in the hallway, and he comes out, and his hands were already like this. And they were coming close to my neck. And he says, Chase, I wish I could just change you. You get under my skin. And I was really fearful for my life. I thought I was going to be the first Bob Jones Academy student murdered there on campus. But it's interesting how the Lord brings people back into your life. And we were friends, Facebook friends and whatnot, but many of you might know George. He actually just lost his wife this year. And she battled, she had a stroke and had some symptoms, and it eventually took her life. But I remember visiting him in the neurotrauma ICU there when they first came in the first time. And he said, Chase, if someone quotes to me Romans 8:28 one more time, it wasn't this kind of a reality, you know, like back in the high school. He said, I'm going to scream. I'm just flat out going to scream. I understand that all things work together for good, but why does everybody keep telling me that? So poor listening can actually lead you to hurt somebody, even though you have good intentions. That's what we call untimely scripture quoting. How about bad theology? So poor listening can actually lead to bad theology. Instead of listening to someone in their grief and their struggles and the events in their lives, we can actually be so caught up with wanting to say something that we not only fail to listen to the person, but we start mouthing bad theology. Let me give you an example. Not too long ago in the ICU, I was sitting with a young man who had cheated death twice. He had flipped his car on 385 twice. And in fact, he wasn't actually sick at the time. He was holding vigil, so to speak, with his sister, a 26-year-old female who had overdosed. And she ended up passing away. And this young man says, I can't believe she's going to die. I always thought it was going to be me. And just about the time when there was some silence and I thought it was okay to start speaking, I had my hand around him and his shoulder there, and his grandmother walked in. I was like, okay, no big deal. She has every right to be in here. And she said two things. God needed her. And God needed another angel. Now, I understand that a lot of times people say things and they're just so overcome with grief, it just kind of comes out. But I think that this is a good example of how we can get ourselves in trouble very, very easily when we don't take time to listen. We don't need to be propagating bad theology. In fact, we need to just sit quietly. We all know the illustration of Job's friends, right? When they did a really good job before they started speaking. So poor listening can actually hurt someone spiritually, not physically. One more thing. Failure to listen to someone and hurting them spiritually may be indicative of a failure to bear another person's burdens. Or just the idea that I'm not really ready to bear someone's burdens. Or I don't want to bear anyone's burdens. We're all familiar with Galatians 6:2. It says, "Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." This is a community piece. We are a people that should be characterized inherently by looking out for one another, listening to one another, taking the time to grieve with one another. When we hear someone weep, we ought to weep. When we hear someone rejoice, we ought to rejoice. We should be there for each other. So, if anything, Proverbs 18:13 says, let's just make sure that we get all the facts straight before we say anything. All right, let's go to 18:15, okay? So we've reached get the facts straight from 18:13. 18:15, I think, is pointing to an exhortation to be open to learning. How many of you have a friend that you just don't think that they could ever be in a position to learn anything? I hope that's not me in your life, okay? I hope I'm not that person. But 18:15 says, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. I love how there's two pieces here in this text that are involved, okay? You've got the ear and the heart. I think implied in that statement is that for your heart to change, your ears have to be turned on, right? In order for your heart to be moved, you have to be engaged with your ears. We can't come to church either and just expect God to change us just because we're present in the seat. I think a lot of us might be thinking in those terms. Well, I'm here, maybe God will bless me. Well, in fact, I think if we want to increase in knowledge and grow, we have to be engaged with the ears in order for it to reach our heart. And I think that's what our brother was talking about this morning. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they hear unless one is sent to speak to them? All right, let's jump down to 18:17. Get the facts straight. Number two, be open to learning. And verse 17 says, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. If you're sitting down with somebody and they are opening up to you about a struggle that they're having, something very, very stressful, and you're not quite sure how to approach it, excuse me, or you're really not sure that they're touching on some pretty deep topics, maybe we should invite someone else into the picture. Maybe it's time to bring a third party in and to help us maybe see things that are not easily seen. And I think verse 17 is telling us, don't jump to conclusions without getting a second opinion. Don't jump to second conclusions or jump to conclusions without getting a second opinion. This might be a pastor. This might be another friend. This might just take a simple text message. Hey, I'm sitting with a friend, if you want to keep them anonymous. I'm sitting with a friend. They asked me this question. What do you think? Real quick, is there a verse I'm missing or something? And always ask for that person's permission to involve a third party. But I think that we miss out on a lot of important dialogue because we always think that it might just be up to us. It's all on my shoulders to try to help this person. When again, if we can't overemphasize enough that we are a community of believers and we're all here for each other. All right, so we need to get the facts straight. Be open to learning. Number three, make sure that you hear all sides of the story before making a judgment call. Now, we've got 5 minutes to actually answer the question of words of wisdom. That's impossible. Now, what do you do after you've heard your brother and sister in Christ? They have made it perfectly clear that now you can speak, or it is okay to start to begin to answer the question. Let me give you some very practical suggestions from sitting with people at the hospital for about 3 years now. What I think that is immensely healing for people to hear right after that is to tell the person thank you. That person just went on a limb with you. It took a lot of guts for them to open up to you. And for them to just open up and give you everything, every piece of the trial, every part of the story, I think it's very important for you to tell that person thank you. Because they are bringing you into a space that they probably wouldn't share with just anyone. Secondly, answer the quote from if we were looking back at verse 13, if we're answering the matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, the matter from God's word, we want to make sure that we stay anchored in the scriptures. That's where we should start. Sometimes we might want to go to a secondary resource like a book, a podcast, or a sermon. Maybe we want to do a Bible study together, but those are all fine and well. But make it a point to search the scriptures together. Maybe you would gain permission for them to involve a third person. Maybe. Just saying maybe. Fourth, what do you do after you know it's your turn to speak? Maybe it's just time to say, let's pray. Maybe silence is indicative of, we need God right now, big time. I don't know what, and maybe you just need to say, I don't know how to answer this right now, but maybe we just need to pray. And fifth, never underestimate the power of God through community. God can work through the fellowship of believers. That is the local church. That is community group. That is prayer group. That is Bible study. That is passing a believer in the hallway at work and saying, hey, I know we can't talk right now. I know we got a couple of minutes. I just want to let you know things are progressing. Please keep praying for me, okay? Please. And then you guys go your separate ways. But never, never underestimate the power of God through community. God wants to work in and through us. Other ideas might be, we've mentioned this before, some very practical options might be a book. They might have a friend that has, there's that one friend that we all have that's probably read everything or knows about the books. They live on Amazon.com. They might have a suggestion. Hit that person up and ask them, who's a good author to read about this particular biblical topic? Take the time, if you have the money, go to a conference. Very practical. Go to a conference of good speakers. You know what? You might actually go to the Bible conference here at Bob Jones. Take a week off. Get saturated with some good preaching. You might want to go get a bunch of podcasts. There's the Ask Pastor John podcast, which hits on all sorts of different topics. Sermon downloads. I know some of the pulpit committee members and I, we hit the sermon downloads really hard. Godly friends, you've got a phone, call someone. You have a phone, text someone. Encourage a person to journal, write down your thoughts and ideas. As soon as you have them, write them down so we can talk about them later. Writing down your own thoughts, writing down your own blessings. Do whatever it takes to get alone with God and say, Lord, you have to answer me in this circumstance. So number six, there's 4, 5, 6. I know it's all over the place. Just like the book of Proverbs, these points are just all over the place. There's this idea of matter, okay? 18:13 says, let's read it again. If one gives an answer before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Some translations use the word whosoever answers a matter or a topic before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. This might be a loss of a child. Could be a divorce. Could be physical suffering. Could be someone else's temptation. Could be someone else's yielding to a temptation. It might be a mental or a physical difference or a mental or physical suffering. It might be a family crisis. Might be lack of employment. Might be something going on inside the church or outside the church. It could really be anything. No topic is outside of this realm. And I think maybe if we were to begin anywhere besides prayer and reading the scriptures, I think a third place to start is to remind them that God loves them. And if we were to close in any one section, I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. We got just 1 minute. I love Paul. He loves to ask questions when he writes his letters. And many of you know Galatians was written to kind of set things straight. Is the gospel about anything else but by grace through faith? Do I add anything to my salvation? And some of the Jewish people in and around the Galatian area were saying it was the gospel by grace through faith plus circumcision. And Paul asks questions. He kind of gets this idea, and he has to write a letter, and then he starts asking some questions. Maybe you start there with someone before you give your opinion. And I love Paul. He asks questions like this. Let me ask you, who has bewitched you? In verse 1 of chapter 3, who has bewitched you? Who's actually cast a spell on you? Who's in your life that's causing you these distresses? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. I love how he springs into Jesus is everything. Verse 2, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? God gave you the Holy Spirit after you were saved. Take heart in that. You didn't do that with your works. Only Paul could say this. Are you acting foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you being perfected by the flesh? You know, Jesus saved you. Are you now completing your salvation by works? That's what he's asking. Verse 5, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? If there's a miracle that's going to be worked among us in our trials and tribulations, it's going to be by the Spirit. I hope if you hear anything from the Proverbs series, this is not about if I just do enough, I'll change. If I just adhere to these Proverbs enough, I'll change. If I just get things sorted out, I'll be all right. Paul in the book of Galatians in chapter 3 says, miracles happen by the Spirit. Are you involving the Spirit? Before we engage people in conversation, let's listen to him. Let's listen to that person. But even more so, let's ask God to work in our midst before we say anything else. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for grace. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is sovereign. Jesus, you are sovereign. And Father, you are sovereign. And Lord, we make decisions too. We act and we move in this world. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we sin grievously. We do things that displease you. We grieve the Holy Spirit. But we're thankful that we can be washed, that we have a Savior that died. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. He rose again. He intercedes on our behalf. And Lord, we are so thankful for that. But as we wait, even as Romans 8 says, we are a people who groan. We hurt. We ache. We're so ready to be adopted, as Romans 8 says. We're so ready for you to come back for us. So as we wait for that day, I pray that we will be found working, that we will be there for one another, that we will point each other to Jesus Christ and him crucified. Just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, that we would be a people that would determine not to know anything among each other save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He is so beautiful. And I pray that we would know others in this community to see them come to Christ. Show us, Lord, someone that we can impact for the gospel and for eternity. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.